I heard of a church in Rochester, New York. Brother Hunsucker, the church, First Bible Baptist Church, big church there. And they built their whole church on discipleship. And every year they had a pastor's conference for pastors to go up for 3 days and learn how to disciple people. So I got on a jet plane, I got on an airplane, and I went to Rochester, New York and spent 4 days up there. And I came back a different person, a different pastor. And my life has never been the same since. Well, it's never been the same since because I realized that what we needed in our church was a systematic discipleship program to train people and help people grow in their faith. So we started it. And what they had is they had 18 books. And you go through it one a week. And the first book was on salvation, eternal security, heaven, hell, baptism, not in this particular order. They had one on the Lord's Supper. They had one on being a good employer and employee. They had one on victory over sin. And so it was, Brother Hunsucker, it was almost like a counseling manual in 18 little books. So for years I used it. And I would call up there and talk to Carol, the secretary, and I would order these books. And it came in a binder. And when we would go through discipleship with people, it would take me about 4 or 5 months to take them through. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. So I used these up until 2 years ago, and Dr. Paul Chappell came out with this book, Continue. And that's why we're here today. This has replaced this in our ministry. And I think this is one of the best discipleship books that has been produced in our circles, in fundamental churches, ever. And so when they did this, they masterfully put together, basically, I don't know if they copied from First Bible Baptist in Rochester, New York, but they copied material that you can condense it down into one book. Okay, let me ask you a couple questions. How many of you have seen these before? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you have used these before? Wow. Okay, it's relatively new. You can call Striving Together Publications, which is a ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College, and you can order them. They are $15 a piece. But sometimes they have sales and you can buy them in bulk. The last time we bought them for $10 a piece. Okay? So if you have a church budget or if you're in a church ministry and we have a budget for discipleship and literature, so we buy them and then, we use them. Okay? So let's take our little booklets out and we'll just go through this briefly. This is something I wrote and then we'll get to the Continue book. And we may role play a little bit. So I won't go over page 3, but it's statistics that are just so staggering. It's amazing the number of people in our churches that have never been discipled. And so you can see where that comes from. It's just sad. I think we're living in an age today, and if I'm wrong, correct me, but I think we're living in an age today where people just want to come and sit. And they really don't want to learn. And so we're living in that. Now, there's always exceptions to that. But we're seeing a lot of that. So turn to page 4. Here's the scriptures about discipleship. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Pastor Leo, would you read those two verses together, please?
Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world.
So our basis, our foundation principle for discipleship is the Great Commission. Okay, that is our basis. So I've tried to teach our people over the years that we need to be a Great Commission church. Okay, let's look at 2 Timothy 2:2. Brother Hunsucker, will you read that last verse?
And the things that thou hast learned and things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
Okay, so God has called us to teach others what we have learned. Okay? So back up. Let me tell you a little bit about me, my life journey. I was not raised in a strong Christian home. My dad was a nuclear engineer, worked for a major American-based company. And at age 15, I was living in Cairo, Egypt. My dad worked for the Egyptian government doing a special project on the Nile River. And at age 15, I was newly saved. I did not know anything about the Christian life. I was going to an American-based, American-speaking church in Cairo, Egypt with other Americans. I was in a private school there, an English-speaking school. And in the church, there was a youth pastor. He was a graduate of Moody Bible Institute. And he took me under his wing along with the other guys in the youth group. And we had a discipleship group. It wasn't called that. It was a Bible study. But at age 15, I grew tremendously in the Lord. And within 2 years of that time, God had called me into full-time ministry. Okay? You say, well, it's no big deal. It was a big deal for me. Because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this youth pastor, who I don't even know where he is today. I don't even know where he's serving. All I knew is he was a graduate of Moody Bible Institute. And we opened the Bible and we memorized scripture and we learned doctrine and we learned Bible truth. And can I say this? It changed my life! Okay? It changed my life. Okay? So I am what I am today. One day I hope to see this youth pastor. I may look him up one day and see where he's at. But he took us young boys in the youth group and he discipled us. I didn't know what he was doing, but he taught us the truth of God's Word. And so it changed my life. Okay? So, defining discipleship, page 5. Disciple comes from a Greek word that means to learn. Historically, the word recognizes a pulpit-teacher relationship. By looking at Jesus' ministry, we see how His relationship with His disciples transcended the normal pulpit-teacher relationship. Jesus poured Himself into those who would multiply, teaching His disciples, spending time with them, and sending them out to proclaim the gospel. Jesus literally staked His whole ministry on 12 young disciples, and He was quietly equipping them so that they would lead the multitude. So here's a definition of discipleship. It's pouring our lives into others, training them in the Word, in relationships, and in ministry so that they might develop as healthy believers who can walk by faith, share their faith, and multiply their faith with other people. Now, I don't know if that's my definition. I probably copied it somewhere, but I think that's a good definition of discipleship. Do you?
Amen.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. So page 5 is a key page. Okay, as you disciple people, there must be truth. You know, we come together when I disciple people. I don't have crackers and cookies and Kool-Aid all day. We sit and we open the Word of God and be transparent. Okay, how can I pray for you? What are some areas that we need to work on? There's some accountability, and then we can see them grow. So how do we disciple? And on page 7, we talk about two things, okay? You can form these in your church individually and in a group setting. And the Continue book helps us to do that. I like the design of it. I like the way it's laid out because you can do it individually or you can do it in a group setting. So if I was in a group setting and you were in my discipleship class and it's Sunday night, or it's Wednesday night, or it's Saturday night, or whenever, then I would have, every one of you would have the discipleship book, and we would open it up, and we would start, if we're on lesson, go ahead and let's turn to page 1. Let's just start, and the discipleship book starts with the Word of God. So we're building the foundation. If you need to share with somebody next to you, share. Here's a book maybe we can share. Some down here may need one. We'll work through it, just sort of share. If we can share, if we can pass this one around, who else needs one? Some on the back there. Just come up together and share. We're going to sort of role play a little bit here. Okay, so Brother Wall asked me to sort of walk you through this. Okay, Elma, continue book. I want you to look around and I want to show you some things. If you'll go to page 291, so take and go to the back, hold it to page 1 and go all the way back to page 291. The answers are on page 291 for the blanks. So as an instructor, I would have my blanks filled out. So on page 1, we would go through it, we would have our Bibles open, and we would walk through it. And I would say, okay, here's your first answer here, folks. Once a person is saved, discipleship is the process of learning. So the word process is found, and they're not numbered on page 291. So every blank, every answer is in order on the back of the book. Do you see how that works? It's sort of, the answers are there, but they don't advertise those answers. And what I tell people is I don't tell them to go to the back and the answers are there. We just walk through it week by week when I meet with people individually is how I'm doing it now. And so we just do one lesson at a time. So we, and I have my book. I have a master copy. Obviously it's just a book. I have a book and I have all the blanks filled out and we go through and then we ask questions and we, just walk through each paragraph and each line, and we read the Word. I try to have them bring their Bible and have their Bible open so we can read John 8:31. I know it's written there. Then said Jesus to the to those Jews which believe on Him, if you continue My Word, then you are My disciples. And I have notes on the side that I talk to them. So I'm walking through the discipleship book, and I do one lesson at a time. And I try to do a lesson each time I meet with somebody. Okay? Now sometimes it's slow or we have interruptions. And so we may not finish the lesson. So this is what I do. I'm being transparent here. This is how I operate. Okay? So Mondays are my day off. I'm in the office Tuesday through Friday. Saturday is a visitation day. It's a slush day. I'm visiting. I'm in and out. I'm studying. So during the week, I keep regular office hours. I'm in the office most days at 9 o'clock. I go home 5, 5:30. If I'm visiting, I'm out. I'm doing chaplaincy work, whatever. But I set up appointments for people to come to my office, men in my church that I'm discipling, and we set up appointments for them to come and disciple with me individually. Everybody with me? If you're with me, say amen. Everybody understand that? Okay? So what I'm doing, I am purposefully positioning myself every week to disciple men in my church. Okay? Everybody with me? Okay? So pastors, if there's pastors in here, you have to purposefully do this. If you're a lay person in your church, work under the authority of your leadership in your church, your pastor, and meet with people individually or have a group setting. So this is what we do. I purposefully try to disciple one or two. One time I was discipling four people, and Brother Hunsucker, it was killing me, you know, because it's a lot. So right now I'm down to one person. No, I'm down to two people. I'm discipling two people, two men in my church. One of them is a new convert. He's been saved about 6 months. And he comes from a rough home. I mean, when he came to our church, he didn't even know what a Bible looked like. And today he can tell you about the Trinity. You know, amen? I mean, so he's coming. And then I have trained other men in my church, and on Wednesday nights, this is what we do. On Wednesday nights during church, we have a discipleship class. We have a classroom set up ready for discipleship. Okay? So this is what's working at First Baptist. Any questions about that? So I'm giving you our plan. And each person's different. Some pastors like, well, nobody can meet during the services. Well, you know, that you're your own local church, but this is what we do. We find if we meet while church is open, the church is already open, we have a Bible study, we have King's Kids on Wednesday nights, we have a kids program, we have discipleship for men on Wednesday nights. And it's taught by a man who I have taken through every page of this book. Okay? Pastor Leo.
So with the group setting, you're talking about one guy teaching multiple guys, or is it?
Yes. Okay, like this.
How many weeks do you allot to get through?
Well, I have trained our men to do it quickly. I don't want it to drag out. So I think the Continue book has, what, 12 lessons? 14. So within 14 weeks, 15 weeks. You know, sometimes, you know, if you're taking a discipleship through Christmas, obviously you're going to have some breaks there. It depends on the year. So what we do is in a group setting, we take them through the 14 lessons, we take a break, maybe take a couple of months off, maybe take the summer off, and then we start it back up. My goal is to have a group in the spring and a group in the fall, okay? And hit it hard in the spring and the fall. Because summertime is very busy, as we all know. People are on vacation. So I usually don't do discipleship in the summer unless it's done individually. You can do the same model with women in your church as well. Now, you can also do a group setting, men and women, like this, if you have enough interest and have a man teach it. Pastor?
Let's say you're in week number 7, you have a new convert, you want to get into discipleship.
Okay.
Is that what you do individually then? Is that within, or do you stick him in the middle?
Stick him right in the middle.
Go from
7 on. Yes.
Come back to mm-hmm. the fall. The
yes. Mm-hmm. That's what we've done in the past. You can jump in.
We do something like that as a mission, but we have 7 basic lessons. And if you come in at 3, then you finish at 2.
Yeah. Okay.
Wherever you come in, you end up.
Sure, and you can work at whatever works for it, but we find out that if they're hungry for the Word, if they're in lesson 8, they can jump in and they can finish up if they really want to know. I mean, I just feel if they're coming in, you know,
they're individual lessons.
They're not, and the good thing about continue, yes, that's what I was just going to say. The good thing about the continued discipleship program that you see there is it's not one lesson builds on another. You can plug them in any lesson, okay? So this is what we do, individually, as a pastor, group setting.
How often do you have, let's say you have 10 guys in either group or individual, how many of those 10 typically will go through the whole? Do you have a problem with people going through all the way through? Or?
I've never had, I'm trying to think, Pastor Hunsucker, I want to think maybe we've had one or two that didn't finish. But pretty much, for the most part, they finish. Now, then I have discipleship 2, and I've taken a couple men through that, and I use a counseling book you would like at Self-Confrontation out of Biblical Counseling Ministries out of California. And that deals with bitterness, anger, lust, adultery. You know, it's more of a counseling thing, but it takes about a year to go through. And I've taken a couple of men through that in my church, but just a couple. That's hungry. The one man doesn't have any children, so he's got a lot of free time. So he likes to meet with me every week, and so we've been doing that for about a year. So, okay, did I see another hand?
Yeah. So, like, not that you sell it, but like when you're presenting it as far as the needs of the class. Do you push a required commitment, like you are committing to X number of weeks? Or?
Yeah, I promote it that way. I don't.
I
have a sign-up list. I've done that before. One of the things I don't do, and each church is different, but I don't say, and I probably, this is an evolution in process, you know. My thoughts are constantly evolving. But if you came and joined our church and I led you to the Lord, I probably wouldn't say, you can't serve unless you go through the discipleship. Although I think it's a good policy to have. I was in a workshop this morning, Pastor Josiah down in Kettering. He's a friend of mine. He pretty much says you can't join the church. Your membership is not complete until you go through the starting point class. Okay, I don't have a starting point class in my church, but I use this as the starting point, new members class. You can use this. Also, Brother Hunsucker would appreciate this. A lot of counseling can take place in discipleship. Okay? I don't have a counseling ministry. I'm not against it. Me and Brother Hunsucker has talked about this. My discipleship becomes my counseling opportunity to deal with issues of the heart. Okay? That's just me. I'm wired like that. Brother Hunsucker, I know he has a lot of good material. I've used his material. But I use discipleship as a means of counseling to help people grow, you know, and deal with issues. Sometimes it comes up. Okay? So what I'll do is I'll take the continue book and I'll just walk our way through it. And then if you notice, as we go through lesson one, so we're finishing, we have a turn to page four. So we finished lesson one and there's highlights there. So we're all finished through lesson one. Turn to page, all the way through page 11. Okay, page 13 is the application. Okay, turn to page 14. Okay, so we finished lesson one. Everybody's finished lesson one. Okay, good job. You're all done. You all look smarter. Okay. Now, what I like about the continue book is from that lesson, you have 5 days of personal devotions that you're going to do. When you go back to Camp Kobiak, you're going to do those 5 days of personal devotions. Okay. All right. So you're going to do this. And this is what I tell my person who I disciple, don't come and see me again until all 5 days of those devotions are done. Now, most of the time they're done. So you have 7 days. We're going to meet in 7 days from now. So you have 5 of those days. Here's your devotions. And so you're going to read page 15 and page 16. You're going to make comments if you have anything that God speaks to you about. There's notes there on bottom of page 16. Then next week, on next Wednesday, you're going to do day 2 on page 17 and 18, and you're going to read all the way through to the end of page 24. So this is what I would do. Tell me your name again.
Clarence.
Clarence, you're going to work through page 24, okay? And next week when we meet, we're going to go to lesson 2. But Clarence, I want you to finish through page 24. Can you do that?
Sure.
Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to pray that you'll finish it. Don't come see me until you do page 24, okay? Okay. You say, what am I doing? I'm making him make a what? Commitment. See? So Clarence is with me. You with me? You can do it. And I've done it too. So it provides, the one thing I like about the continue book is it provides devotions, okay? And what it does is it gets them reading the Word of God too, okay? So they have 2 days off. They got the next 7 days, they have 5 days. I don't care when you do it, Clarence. If you want to do all 5 of them in one day, that's fine. But I want you to do it and I want you to tell me what you've learned. So when me and Clarence meet the next week, I'll say, Clarence, how was your devotions this week? Were they good? Okay? You look like you're down spiritually. Are you okay? Okay, so Clarence, did the Lord speak into your heart?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, let's go to lesson 2. Turn to page 25. You're right there. Okay, then we're going to jump right in. Okay? So if you notice on this book, turn to page 8 now. Turn to page 8. I never meet over an hour and a half. Okay? You know, when I meet individually, it's about an hour. Okay? Sometimes if they have a lot of questions, the young boy I'm discipling, now he has a lot of questions. Last week we met, what did he ask me? What do you think about demons? You know, well, he's not in the occult, but he's 19 years old, he's a new convert, and he's played a lot of these video games. And I'm telling you, it has an effect on your mind.
Yeah.
So, and he asked me, so, you know, I try to tell him and then I try to get back to the lesson, okay? I keep saying, if you'll keep coming to church, you'll grow and you'll learn some of these things. And he understands that. So I meet an hour, hour and a half. Remember, if you don't get through the appointed lesson, you can always pick up where you left off. Pray, spend time in prayer. Have a start and finish time. And it goes back to, I think, when Brother Hunsucker said, you know, okay, we're going to commit, Clarence, we're going to commit to the next 12 weeks. We're going to get through this, okay? So stay with me for 12 weeks, okay? After each phase of discipleship is completed, we present a certificate of completion. We frame it, okay? And it's a big deal, okay? Clarence has completed our continued discipleship program. Clarence, come up to the front. Let's give you the certificate, okay? You don't have to. Let's clap, okay? Let's clap for Clarence. Come on. Okay? So we'll do that at the end of a Sunday morning service when Clarence goes through it, okay? Just a simple little thing. And I have men in my church that have their certificates hanging on the wall. You think they got a degree from a college, you know? So, but, you know, we want to honor them, okay? Use the discipleship program and have them read a Christian book on the side. So one other thing that I do, and I want to finish here so y'all can ask any questions, is a lot of times when I'm working individually with Clarence, I'll have a book. Usually I use, there's several good books from Paul Chappell on The Steps of a Good Man is one I've used, some of those books. So we're going to read it on the side. Okay? And I'm not pressuring him. Now watch this. I'm not going to pressure him to read that book. I'm not going to say, don't come see me until you read pages 1 through 90. Okay? So I want you to read chapter 1 this week. Okay, what'd you think about it? So I give them a book and I provide that book for them, just some good Christian material that they can go through that. So I do that a lot of times with the men that I disciple. Constantly teach theology, number 7, in your discipleship, and adjust with each individual, number 8. Some can learn faster than others. Some has to take extra time. Okay? So page 9 is a great page. Okay? As you think about discipleship, how many marriages have been restored in your church this year? How many people are striving for holiness? So there's some great questions there to think that can be answered through discipleship. Okay, and then page 10 and 11, you can read that later on. I'll just, interesting, on a book that I read several years ago from Robbie Gallaty, Rediscovering Discipleship, Making Jesus' Final Words Our First Work. Great, great truth there about discipleship. Okay, because the model, Jesus modeled discipleship in the New Testament. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Any questions or thoughts or comments? Yes, sir.
Okay, you mentioned a certificate. Do they have a certificate that they provide?
I print it up, and I have a template on my computer, and I just print it up. It's a nice color certificate. You know, just be creative. This certifies that Clarence, what's your last name?
Nettles
has completed the continued discipleship course through First Baptist Church, Tifton, Indiana, presented on this date. And I sign it and maybe have our assistant pastor or the church clerk or somebody sign it just to make it look nice. Because it is a big thing. I think it's a big thing. So I just have that template on there. Just an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper on nice paper, printed up on nice paper and frame it. Yes, Clarence?
Okay, you have the discipleship 1 and then 2 and 3. Do you use the continued book for the second and third discipleship training?
No, the discipleship 2 in our church is the self-confrontation book. It's a whole other book that I use through BCF, Biblical Counseling Foundation. So what we do in discipleship 2 is we, and Brother Hunsucker would love this, we get into counseling issues, okay? We deal with Bible memorization. We deal with bitterness, how to deal with anger, how to solve marriage problems, if you're married. Now, in my discipleship 2, are you married? You're not. So what I would do is, if I was taking you through discipleship 2, Clarence, I would skip over the marriage chapter. I'd just skip over it, okay? So that's what I would do. Brother Leo?
So when you run through each of these questions throughout the book, how much time do you spend on each point, or do you skip through a lot of stuff?
I try to do it fast. I don't want to rush people through, but what I want to do is, my goal is to finish a lesson each time and not drag it out. So, you know, you can go back and study it, and you can answer the question yourself. Okay? Yes, sir?
Probably just opinion, but have you ever thought about doing individual discipleship during, like, a ministry service?
Well, I'm preaching, so it would be hard.
There's different people in your church, like, different.
Yes. And we've done that, and I'm not against that. My wife has done that. She did that last fall with a lady in our church. She met with her individually during the Wednesday night service. My wife is the pianist, so we would have opening song on Wednesday nights, and then I would say, okay, if you're in discipleship groups, you are dismissed. And they would be dismissed, and she would take a lady, and we had some men that went, that was last fall, and so then we would continue on the service. But we all started off in the service for announcements, offering, and, you know, we got to take an offering, amen, and all that stuff. And then we would dismiss in 10 minutes after the service. So they would have 50 minutes or an hour. Sometimes they went a little bit longer after the Wednesday night service. But, yes, we've done that. It's a great idea. Group setting, you know, you just, each church is different. We do it on, we like it on Wednesday nights during church. Because you're already coming to church. You've got a nursery if they have a small child. We've got a nursery available. And we've got a classroom set up, and they can do the group setting on Wednesday nights.
It's good on Saturday. If you have Saturday morning visitation, one thing we did at Faith, I don't do it now, but we would have
I would have somebody in discipleship class on Saturday morning during visitation. Then when they were through the class, they went right into visitation program.
Yes, you can do that. It depends on your ministry need. So, but, you know, I'm going to use a fancy word here and I'm through. Systematically. I'm going to use that word. Do something systematically. Have a plan in place. This is a tool that I think is one of the best tools for our circles that use it. The navigators. Remember the navigators years ago? They had some good material. And I use their stuff. I've used their stuff. But, you know, it's not King James based, you know, and so you get into some issues with that. But this, you know, Paul Chappell has done a great job. I hope they always have this book. If they don't, I will write him and say, can I get a copyright to publish it? You know, because I did this for years. Now this has replaced it. Okay, it's condensed. But you should have seen the books. Brother Hunsucker, I think you've seen what I used to use. And it was in a binder and it was expensive. It was $30 for the 18 books. So that's a lot of money, you know, if you're discipling five or six people. So this really solves it. Okay? It's cheap. It's ready. It's available. It's fundamental. So, all right. I usually split the cost. Okay, if it's $10, you give me $5 and I'll pay the $5. Okay? And we have a budget that does that, takes care of that. Okay? Thank you. Thanks for coming. Your people, folks. Be passionate about that. Okay?